Morning. Welcome.
I have a letter here. Hello and God's peace. The ladies of your congregation are invited to a time of fellowship and learning around the Word of God. All the information that you would need is attached on the poster here, and I'll post it at the back. And please keep this retreat in your prayers, as well as the speaker, Stephanie Lang. Thank you for announcing this and for your prayers. And this is in God's peace and love, Miriam Hanu, on behalf of Central Minnesota Christian Woman. So I'll post this at the back. Are there any prayer requests or other announcements? We have Levi reading the psalm and Tom doing the prayer and bringing us the sermon. Yeah, Auntie already reminded me and I forgot. So, yeah, Bethany at 2. So, and we'll start with 86.
This morning is Psalm 107, 1-9. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way, they found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness.
Thank you. Shall we bow in prayer? Dear merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, another day of grace. Father, we come to you this season in which the work of the cross was accomplished, in which the sins of the world were put on him. In which 3 hours of darkness and the wrath of God was put on your Son, so that any who believe in the work of the cross could be saved. Father, we thank you as the bride of Christ, we thank you for you allowing your Son to go to that cross and bear the sin of the world so that we can see and look upon that cross and see that it is finished, that it is complete in him. We can see that the pain that we deserved, he took on. The wrath that we should have felt was appeased through him, the perfect Lamb, the one that is unblemished, felt sin, felt our sin, took on our sin, paid the atonement for our sin, so that the bride could be presented from the Father to the Son, so that the bridegroom could be overwhelmingly worshipped, for he is worthy of our worship. Father, we thank you for this season, this Easter season. We also thank you for this congregation, the body of believers in this church, the saints, the ones who look to you for peace and love, for understanding and grace, for rebuke and chastisement. For you are the one, you are our all in all. Father, we ask that this text this morning would open hearts, open ears, and would be presented so that it would bring you glory. For your word does not return void, but it hits the mark. It hits the mark individually, and it hits the mark in the world. Father, we pray for our leaders that they would be biblical leaders, that they would look to your word for understanding and wisdom and knowledge and decision making, so that we could be a country that is biblically strong in the foundation of the Bible, so that we could be Christians and stand on the truth of the gospel. Father, we thank you for all of the children here, all our future. Give them a desire in the word, Father, so that they will receive wisdom and knowledge. Give them an understanding of the word. Give them a peace through the word. And give them the ability to be leaders and future leaders, so that our country can remain strong. Strong in you. And Father, we most thank you for that perfect prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's continue with 111. May the grace, mercy, and peace of God the Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the indwelling Holy Spirit be granted to you on this holy day. Amen. The text today is Mark chapter 15. So if we can take our Bibles and turn to Mark 15. And 31 to 41 is where we'll look. Probably look a little bit before, and we'll look at some references and try to give it due justice. So we'll read it in Jesus' name. Likewise, also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." They that were crucified with him reviled him. When the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, "Behold, he calleth Elias." And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it him to drink, saying, "Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down." And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, the less, and of Joseph, and of Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. Sanctify these words, Father, for thy word is truth. This text is from probably the 15th verse, or from the first part of the chapter, from 1 to 14 is the trial before Pilate, and from 15 to 32 is the mocking of the Savior, and the rest of the chapter is basically Jesus dying. So when we look at this chapter, we kind of see a culmination of his life, and at the same time, the reason why he came. What was the purpose that he was sent? But he was sent from God his Father to earth to pay a price that no one else could, to take on the sins of the world. So for whoever believes in the work of the cross, they shall be saved. So we have in the mocking of Christ, and you can start it wherever you want from 15 on, but it's basically a look at 28. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross." Was this an option? Was this an actual option for Christ? If we read in Matthew, chapter 27, I believe it is. Actually, no, let's go in. Go in John 17, 1 to 5 first before we do that. And this is the high priestly prayer, Jesus praying. This is before he actually goes to the cross. But these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given me him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." So basically, this is the prayer to the Father, where he's before the cross. He's saying, I have been given the apostles, the 12, and one is the son of perdition. And And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. He's done this. He's taught them this. He's basically, the only thing left was him to go on that cross and pay the penalty, to take on the sins of the world. So when we see in Mark here where it talks about, save thyself and come down from the cross, even though he could call 12 legions of angels to help him, he could not really do that because his whole purpose was to fulfill the will of the Father. His purpose was to die. We needed a lamb to shed his blood so that the sins of the world could be paid for. So this is kind of the mocking that's happening. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking and among themselves with the scribes, he saved others, himself he cannot save. There's more mocking happening here. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. Another thing that's happening here is the mockers are kind of like the temptations of the devil when the Holy Spirit, like a dove, landed on Christ. And immediately he was transported to the wilderness by God so he could be proved. So he could use the word, the scriptures, to defeat Satan in a way by using that word. He was being proved and proved and proved through the word, and strengthened and strengthened and strengthened. When it came to the cross and him being on the cross, the mocking continued. But he had already passed the test. He already knew that this was his purpose. He was sent out. He was the Son sent out, like John 3:17 says. The option of saving himself was not an option. He had to die. He just had to, so that anyone that would believe on the Lamb, that their sins are forgiven because he was perfect. Because the sacrifice of the Lamb, the death of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ would be able to make it possible for our sins to be put in his flesh and condemned in his flesh at the cross of Calvary, as far as the east is from the west. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. Lazarus, the rich man, was... Lazarus, the story of Lazarus and the rich man comes to front on mind when Lazarus is wanting to have the rich man wanted Lazarus to go and tell his brothers that this place is wicked and basically the story goes, the reality goes, is the fact that it doesn't matter if they have Moses and the prophets to explain the story, the whole story of salvation, that someone has to die and shed their blood so that we can be saved. Nobody that's from heaven, from hell, that comes back to life is going to change the mind of somebody, even if they've come back from hell. This is basically, let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross that we may see and believe. They're not going to see and believe because they're blind. They can't see. However, there says, and they were crucified with him and reviled him. The two on the cross were crucified with him and reviled them. One got to be in paradise, one did not. One recognized what? That the Savior was innocent. And that he wasn't. One recognized that the Savior, if you remember me in paradise, that he would. And the Savior said, this day you will be with me in paradise. One was saved, one was not. One believed, one didn't believe. One grieved their sin, one did not grieve their sin. But at first they both reviled him. It says here, crucified with him, reviled him. And that's because of the pain they were going through. The excruciating pain on the cross. The cross that creates more pain than any other way of or form of death or form of killing. And then we have here the sixth hour was come. There was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. So from 12 p.m. to 3. What does darkness signify? Well, if we look in Exodus chapter 10, verses 21 to 23. We might read a little more in here. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand toward the heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, and even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. So for 72 hours is of pitch black. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. There was darkness in the land for 3 days because something had to happen. A death had to happen. A tenth plague had to happen. Justice had to be served. So darkness is judgment. It's the judgment of God towards the people that are putting people in slavery, and the prayers of the Israelites to the Father, justice had to be appeased. So we have here in the 27th verse of the 10th chapter, it says, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. And Pharaoh said unto him, get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for that they thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said, thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face again no more. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet I will bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. And what was the plague? The death of the son. What else was part of the plague? They all drowned in the sea. Judgment had to occur, because you will either receive mercy and grace if you believe in the work of the cross, or you'll see wrath and judgment if you do not believe in the work of the cross. The Egyptians received wrath and judgment. And it was dark for 3 days, preparing them for the death that was about to come of their son, and then the people were let go. And the people, the chosen or the of God, who put the blood on the doorposts, and that prevented the judgment to happen to them, because they were the light. So we have here the culmination in history of Christ. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. God's wrath was upon his son. Your sins were put upon his son. My sins were put upon his son. For 3 hours he suffered wrath. Every sin of the world, anyone that believes in the work of the cross, the sins were paid for there. Judgment, wrath was appeased because of the work of the cross. If we look in the minor prophet of Amos, verses 8 and 9 of chapter 8. Shall not the land tremble for this, for every one mourn that dwelleth therein, and it shall rise up wholly as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt, referring to the flood. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. And I will turn your feasts into mourning and your songs into lamentations. And I will bring up sackcloth upon your loins and baldness upon every head. And I will make it as mourning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. Isaiah 51. Verse 17, awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which has drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of his trembling and wrung them out. Verse 22, thus saith thy Lord, the Lord, and thy God that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. 53, verse, chapter 53, 11. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied with his knowledge. Actually, I'll read at 10. Yes, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. The verse that says it pleased God to bruise him. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many? For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and shall divide him the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Luke 23:44-46. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Second Corinthians 5:20-21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Three hours he was on the cross, receiving the wrath that we deserve so that we could be saved. If you read the 22nd chapter of Psalms, this is the reference in the 34th verse of Mark 15. If you read that chapter, it's basically, you will read it, you will understand of what Christ experienced on that cross. And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, "Behold, he called Elias." One ran and filled the sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, and saying, "Let alone. Let us see whether Elias will come to take him down." They're looking for a miracle. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Why was it done this way? Hebrews chapter 6, 17 to 20. Wherein God willing, more abundantly to shew unto the heirs of promise, which are the Christians, the chosen, the elect, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two mutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which endureth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. We have access to God's grace through the veil that was rent. We are now pleasing to the Father because of the righteousness of Christ that's been imputed to us. Romans says it best in chapter 5, 1 to 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, the faith of Jesus Christ, we have peace with God through our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We have access to the favor of God where we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which has been given to us. The seal of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost, the indwelling spirit of the Holy Ghost that's been given to us because we believe in the cross, in Christ, what he is doing, what he has done, and what he will do when he comes again. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." Matthew, I believe, 26. And forthwith he came to Jesus, verse 49, and said, "Hail, Master," and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, this is when Judas is betraying Christ, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, and struck servants of the high priest and smote off his ear. And then Jesus said unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish by the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? He's asking them the question. I could do that. But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it might be? In the same hour said Jesus unto the multitudes, Are ye come out against as a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you in teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold of me. But all of this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. So this is the reason why there was no option for Christ. He had to be on the cross. He had to die and pay for our sins. And why was that? Because the Father saw the bride. Saw the bride. The faces of the bride. In the future, in the past. Every single face he saw. Every single heart he saw. And that bride was to be presented to his Son. So it pleased God to crush his Son. Because he saw us. He saw the future elect. He saw the members that would be saved. This is the way it had to be. And when the centurion stood off over against him, he saw it, so he cried out and gave up the ghost. He said, Truly this man was the Son of God. So this is what happened. 50th verse of 27 of Matthew. Jesus went and he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. The earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Many bodies of the saints which slept arose. The graves were opened. They came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. 3 days after his resurrection, these graves, people that were dead, went out. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things which were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly this was the Son of God. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him among Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. Even the centurion knew it was the Son of God because of what he saw. There was also women looking afar off, among whom was Mary the mother of James, and less of Joseph and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. Why women? Why women? Why did he use women? They have the ability to be nurturing, loving, cherishing, compassionate. They instill love into the ones that they touch. They're real. A mother knows her son. A mother knows her daughter more so than any male would. So we have these ministers, these female ministers who God used mightily. Not only at the cross, but before the cross, to teach wisdom. We notice wisdom is mentioned in the book of Proverbs as female. If we read John 3:17, when we talk about what sons of God and what sent out ones do, it says in there, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Jesus was sent by his Father. We are sent as sons and daughters of Christ. We are sent out. No different. We are the sisters and brothers of Christ. We are sent out. What did the cross accomplish? 2 Colossians chapter 2. Verses 6 to 19. "And ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. So walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all the principalities and power, in whom you also are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, the circumcision of the heart, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Your sins were placed in Christ Jesus' flesh and condemned on that cross in Calvary 2,000 years ago. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith and the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, when you were enemies to Christ, he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, blotting out the handwritten of ordinances against that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing to the cross the ordinances of the law itself, nailing it to the cross, because he fulfilled the law. We look to the author and finisher of our faith. He fulfilled the law. Do we have the desire to do the Ten Commandments? Absolutely. We should desire to do them. But he fulfilled them. Because he had to. There had to be a perfect lamb. A perfect 33 years. And having spoiled principalities of power, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or a new moon or a Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility of worshipping of angels, intruding into these things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment ministered, and knit together, increasing with the increase of God." The body of Christ. We're part of the body of Christ, knitly formed together according to his will and way. What did the cross fulfill? The law is fulfilled. The atonement of sins are paid for. The wrath of God is appeased. The imputation of the righteousness of Christ was given to you. Our sin was given to him. We are now the bride of Christ. Christ's work is finished. The coming down of the Holy Spirit to indwell all believers. Indwell. Stay. Comfort. Direct. Encourage. Discipline. A future in God's kingdom, on earth and in heaven. We are the bride. We are joint heirs with Christ. Total peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Jesus is our high priest. If you want to read a chapter that recognizes who Jesus is and how he is our high priest, read chapter 8 of Hebrews. It's a beautiful chapter of how he's our high priest. Our security is in our Savior and in him alone. He is our all in all. Every day he gives you is another day you'll recognize he's more important to you than the day before. Every day that he gives you in the future, you will recognize that your grace is growing. The knowledge is growing. Not because you did anything to accomplish that, because he is the author and finisher of your faith, and he will accomplish it through you by his power and by his will. We have such a beautiful Savior. In one part of history, on the Good Friday, two things happened, much more. Justice was appeased and done. Justice was fulfilled. Wrath was appeased. Grace and truth made its presence in the lives of believers. For the ones who believe in the Lord, the ones that believe in his power, the ones that believe in the work of the cross and the resurrection of the cross, God is merciful and gracious to you. Every day it's new. For the ones that don't believe, justice and wrath was not appeased. So there's, because of this, we have a beautiful Savior who has accomplished it all. And when he said it is finished, it is finished. We can rest on the work of the cross. We can rest on the completed work of Christ. We can rest on the guiding Holy Spirit who guides and directs. We can have confidence that he will direct us because we are joint heirs with him, because he has promised to give us a place, build us a place in heaven where we will go, where there is no tears, but there's a glorified Christ that we will look upon. And every time we blink, we'll be in awe of a Savior who loves and will continue to do so. In Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Let us close at 460.